If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right,
man. Uh-oh.
All right.
Did you get the video of the drill, or what is it?
No. It's even worse. And we don't have to... This is just for the group chat, unless you guys want it to be different. But did you see Val Venus came back?
Nah.
Came back where?
Like,
I don't know where the hell he was at, but he's...
Have you seen the things that Val Venus says?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not my guy. Oh, not my guy.
I'm not even hitting play on that, man. I'm just going to keep moving about my day. I want to... dive into to 49ers training camp and talk a little bit about the Kyle Shanahan situation that developed in the first couple of days here. But can I share one more quick story with you from
I told from
the vacation in Cabo? I told you about that first day where the drinking started at 7 a.m. on the Southwest flight.
That's what I'm talking about.
And continued with my obsessive. And by the way, we're sitting in the pool. It's like 12 o'clock. Like, so it's not like it's been going on
full day. No, like, it's like only been half a day.
It's 12 o'clock and I'm desperately trying to get a hold of James and his wife, who I know are in Cabo somewhere, but I don't know exactly where. So I'm FaceTiming him, sending him videos, doing all this other stuff. You know, we finally grab a meal. We're enjoying the pool, man. It's incredible. The waves in Cabo are so violent. Like, it is such a, it's such an incredible thing to me, because there's nothing more beautiful than the ocean to me. There's nothing more beautiful and calming than the ocean. That ocean, though, on that side of Cabo is a murderer. Like, it is terrifyingly violent. But I'm just captivated by it. So I'm sitting in the pool, you know, enjoying the food, the drinks, all of that, watching it. Go up to our room. Our first night is we have, like, they have this cliffside restaurant. It's gorgeous, amazing food. It's like this multi-course meal. And it's good, but it's insanely overpriced. We had that planned. It was the only thing that we really had planned besides a tequila tasting the next day. And we go down. So the dinner's incredible. Like, we've been drinking the whole day. I go to sleep. Like, we get up to our room, immediately take a nap. Took a solid 3-hour nap. I don't know what woke me up. But at 6 o'clock, I was like, oh, yo, we got to, like, get ready. Like, our reservation is at 7. And this is most difficult reservation to get. So we got to throw ourselves. We got to get going. And I'm like, all right, we're up and moving. And I'm just like, yo, I'm drunk still. Yo, like, I slept 3 hours. Like, I didn't sleep nothing off. What is going on? So we go out. We do this, you know, great. That was the only night of dinner I had planned. The only other activity I had planned was a tequila tasting. And it was at, like, maybe 4 o'clock, three, four o'clock. I can't really remember what time it was the next day. So we go sit down, and it's just like a wine tasting, right? The person walks you through, or here's this type of tequila. Here's why this is a Reposado Añejo. And it's stretching out for a really long time, like far longer than I thought. Like, it goes almost 90 minutes. And we wind up taking a little walk around the resort. She was like, let's FaceTime, you know, Jack and Mary. Those are her parents. So we FaceTime them. We're showing them the resort. And I'm like, all right, so let's head up to the room. And I was like, I don't really have a plan for dinner. So maybe we could just do room service, or we could do one of these other places. She was like, yeah, that's fine. So we walk upstairs, and there's a man in the room, like a worker.
Oh.
Okay. Calm down. There's a gentleman in the room. And he's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, hi. And I swear to you, I hear Beat It playing, like Michael Jackson is playing.
Yeah.
And I'm like so confused, but I'm like, I see this individual, and I told you, like, they bring chips, guacamole, and beer up. And I thought, oh, he's just bringing up the beer.
Yeah.
And the guacamole and the chips. And I he's like motioning towards the room. And I think is he ushering me somewhere? And I'm thinking, oh, okay. He rolled the towel into a flamingo, and he wants me to see it. It's like, all right, man, cool. So, like, I walk into the room, and the music's getting louder. Yeah. Again, Michael Jackson is playing, and I'm really confused as to what's going on. And I can see onto the terrace outside our room, like, what's, like, there's stuff everywhere. So I open the blinds and open the door. There's rose petals all over the place. There's seats with menus and champagne. And I'm looking at this, and it's clearly a private dinner. Mm. I'm panicked now because I'm like, I didn't do this. So I'm looking around like,
more importantly, I didn't pay for this.
And then I'm thinking, like, did I? It's like, Jesus Christ, how much did this cost? And I look at Katie. I was like, baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't do this. Yeah. She looks at me and she goes, I did. She had set that all up. And the reason the tequila tasting went so long was because she knew that they were upstairs setting the room up. Mm. So she goes, oh, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. And as she goes to the bathroom, she looks at our... it's in wine, it's called a sommelier. I don't know what the tequila person is called, but she looks at him with my back turned and goes, we gotta go long, stretch it out long. Mm. And walks off and goes to the bathroom, and the guy's like, so let me tell you about this bottle right here. That, and he points to this bottle, that's a $25,000 bottle, only one person has ever bought it. I was like, that's great, buddy, only one person is gonna buy it when this tasting is over too. But I wish you could have seen, Katie tells the story of how funny the panic in my face was, that I didn't know what was happening. Because on our vacation, I'm kind of in control of everything. I plan all of that stuff. And so to see that stuff laid out that way sent me into, like, I can't, I must have done this when I was trying to call James. I called the front desk and booked this insanely. This is crazy. This is crazy. Oh, God. We're never going to be able to afford this.
That's love, though, man. That's love. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, man.
It was fantastic. We had a far, far better week and weekend than Kyle Shanahan had. Very odd to see a story as training camp is about to get underway that the 49ers head coach was involved in not just a car accident, but a very, very serious car accident. Nick Wagner, shout out to him, man. He had all of the details on this. Right out the gate, broken nose, broken hand, 3 broken ribs, over 40 stitches. It was reported he had gotten into the accident several days earlier, but it was being reported now because obviously he had to go in front of people. He had to go in front of, the team. He wasn't going to be. He's in concussion protocol. Yeah. When you're in concussion protocol, it's league mandate. You're not available to the media. So there had to be an explanation as to why he wasn't super visible at practice and why he wasn't available for the media as training camp got underway. That led to some interesting discussions about how this story was reported and how it should have been reported and different things like that. But, you know, we'll kind of leave that alone. But really, of course, Kyle's been at both practices, as noted by Chris Biederman, who was there for day one. Nick Wagner obviously covers that team pretty closely for ESPN. In similar situations, he's kind of staying away. He's around for about 30 minutes when most cameras are put away, and he observes the team a little bit and makes his way back. But Chris Forrester is leading the team through this first part of training camp.
And the story from Kyle Shanahan's POV, I think Chris Sims was talking about it, and I think some of the reporters were as well. It's like, physically, he's doing better, like the broken nose or the ribs and even the stitches. He's doing better, especially Chris Sims kind of detailed getting a text message from Kyle's wife right after it happened, showing pictures and stuff like that. And he says seeing him today, he looks much better. He said the thing that's really bothering him is the concussions. Like, he hasn't been able to fully shake that yet. And that's scary because you don't know when or if. You know, and I know I'm probably speaking worst case scenario, and we all hope none of that is the case. But, you know, the concussion aspect of it, when you're, you know, X amount of days out and you're still dealing with that, and I don't know what the symptoms are.
I think he's about 13 days out too, right? 14th to 15th.
I don't know what the issue is, if it's like memory or if it's sensitivity to light or all the above or anything else like that. But he said that's the thing that's, you know, really hampering him right now is recovering from that concussion. So, man, scary, scary situation. And I'm glad that he's doing all right, still here with us, and get well soon, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, we weren't afforded this opportunity last night because television is very different than radio. And we do, you know, TV on a regular basis, pretty much a weekly basis with Jake Gaden and Brendan Benitez over on CBS 13. And we were talking a little bit about this situation, about the 49ers, about Kyle Shanahan. And Jake kind of jumped in as you and I wrapped up. And he was like, there's three things I'm watching, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers training camp right now. And the first thing that he mentioned was, how do they how are they able to adjust with Kyle Shanahan's absence? And in the live moment, I wanted to retort again, that's not really the medium. We have to move quicker when we're on the television side. But to bring Jake's question to the radio. So, Jake, if you're listening, I don't think there's a thing to worry about with this football team in the absence of Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan is a veteran head coach for this team. This is a veteran football team. And if there is any team built to be without their head coach or the full participation of their head coach for a period of time that could be anywhere from, you know, a week to a month, I think it's the San Francisco 49ers team.
Yeah. They're on that same broadcast, and we talked about it a number of different times. We talked about the lack of continuity and cohesion with Sac State football and college sports in general, right? It's the complete opposite with this group of 49ers. Obviously, you got rookies coming in. You got a couple of free agents coming in. But the core of this group is like the picture of consistency and continuity, where Kittle, Trent Williams, CMC, Brock Purdy, you go down the list, Fred Warner now there too. They've been together for about 4 or 5, in some cases 6, 7 years now under Kyle Shanahan.
Right. Yeah.
So there's certain strategic things that maybe will change over the course of an offseason and going into training camp, and maybe a little bit with new plays or new play designs or something like that. But for the most part, understanding what is expected of them and what the San Francisco 49ers franchise and program is all about, these guys, I don't want to say they don't need Kyle Shanahan at the start of training camp, but they can manage.
Yeah, they'll
for a
be fine.
While.
Yeah,
they can manage.
Yeah, and like you don't need, like, Nick Bosa is not even participating yet. He's still doing individual work. I think Trent Williams was doing individual work yesterday. That's probably more vet management than it is anything else. But to me, a lot of and again, Kyle's there. Kyle Shanahan, you know, Nick Wagner notes, like, Kyle was kind of in the same, you know, spot. He calls it the center field spot with Kyle, GM John Lynch. And he was there for basically he was there for most of practice. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not like Kyle's gone. He's just probably a little less hands on.
Right.
Is not as interactive with the guys. And he's probably not leading, you know, any meetings at this point.
Yeah.
He's allowing his assistant head coaches, his associate head coaches, his position coaches to do all of that stuff, and allowing Chris Forrester the opportunity to kind of, you know, take the lead. And Chris Forrester is a guy who is universally respected within that locker room, and has taken this up as a challenge, and he knows his role here, and he seems to be relishing in it the first 2 days of camp.
Yeah, man. Scary stuff, though. Scary stuff. As far as football on the field, as much as you can take away in the first two days at the second day, ended during the show, I think, but first day of training camp, no pads on or anything else like that, but
yeah,
you're saying Brock looking nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're Brock wasn't the only
connection
one.
With Mike. Well, Mike Evans.
And Brock wasn't the only one looking nice.
Oh, come on, man.
Your new favorite quarterback is looking pretty good out there too. The last couple days.
Now. Come on now.
I'm gonna get you a jersey.
Just
because I know he's not gonna be a 49er much longer. Just to keep the bit going, I'm gonna get you a Mac Jones jersey.
Shout out to my boy, man. Shout out to my boy Mac Jones, man. That's my guy.
One of the great story arcs in this show's history.
Yeah,
is your love of Mac Jones?
Yeah, I didn't look. I
talk about finish
happen.
The story. We finished this story quicker than Cody Rhodes did. But your love of Mac Jones,
didn't think it would happen, but he is legit my boy, Mac Jones. I love me some Mac Jones. He was doing something with somebody the other day, as far as like in at a park. He took a picture or a selfie with somebody. I can't remember. I forgot what the story was, but it was just a reminder of like, yeah, he he's a cool dude. That's why I like Mac Jones, man. He's a cool dude. I feel bad for talking about him all those years.
See?
He seemed like a great guy.
See? Changed Kenny's whole perspective forever. He's never going to talk bad about another athlete again.
I was trying to think who. I didn't even. People thought I was going to come in here and talk crazy about Draymond on Friday. No, it's all right.
On Friday? What was Friday?
Because LeBron didn't sign with the Warriors.
Oh.
I thought we were going to make fun of the Warriors, but.
I'm saying. I. This had to be. I should have. I really just kind of disconnected while I was away.
It's good.
Nah, it's not, because now I'm sick. Because I swear I saw something about Draymond Green and $28 million.
Oh, no. You didn't imagine that. I saw something about it, too. I think they said it was expected to happen some in the coming
But $28
days.
Million total? Or they're $28
million? Oh, yearly, annual.
Yeah.
Per year.
Yeah.
You got to give the money to someone if LeBron's not coming, I guess. I think Pod's supposed to get a paycheck, too.
Yeah, Pod's
is, you know. Pay Pods?
No, they said Pods is like $24, $25 million a year.
I know Pods was sitting in his living room. Please, LeBron, please don't pick us.
Pod's about to get paid. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean.
One last run for Steph Curry's career.
With Pods.
Whoa, and Draymond Green.
Do we want to go there right now?
We can.
Niners, first two
no,
days
we
of training camp.
We can.
Deshaun Stripling looked good too. That's
yeah,
a good
that
thing.
was another one.
To see
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Did you hear that real quick? Did you hear the story that Adam Schefter, your boy, talked about?
Nope.
He said there was either a belief or he had heard from coaches or something that the Rams were going to take Stripling in the Niners. That's one. That's another reason why the Niners jumped at it when they did. They said the Rams would. Their second round pick. He was He said the Rams had him as one of the best receivers on the board.
I see. Okay.
And that's not why the Niners took him. But the whole thought of like the Niners reached for taking this guy, apparently, and maybe Schefter's just doing the work of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but apparently a lot of different teams like Stripling going into it. And he looked good.
I think that was reported almost immediately. Like,
yeah, like this, I think the next that after that weekend,
yeah,
I know like, Lewis Riddick was saying some stuff, and
there were teams that liked him a lot.
Yeah,
the only Rams story I'm interested in is when Aaron Donald comes out of retirement. Yeah,
bring that old man back,
because he
got something for that old man.
He's
bring that
very
old man back.
Obviously coming out of retirement. Yeah, like these stories are too, they're getting too detailed at this point. Yeah. Like what happened? Because, oh, he's on a strict regimen here to see if he's going to come out of retirement. So you're going to put that story out there, and then the next story is going to be like, nah, he decided not to. No, there's no chance.
Why are you working out at the Rams facility?
Yeah, like, no, this man is coming back to play football. Like, and it's, I get it. He doesn't want to do training camp. Yeah. Like, he's doing his own. This man's playing football.
I wish he didn't. Not because of Niners Rams stuff, but Aaron Donald was one of the greatest we've ever seen. And when he hung it up, I feel this way about a lot of people who retired. Like I kind of just want them to that
it
to be that.
It felt like he retired, and this isn't always the case. Mm-hmm. More times than not, it isn't. He retired when he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, and it happens a little bit more in football because guys are walking away earlier in the NFL, but he was still, you know, he had that write your own ticket contract,
mm-hmm.
and he was still the best in the game when he walked away.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get the lore of, you know, the MVP and Myles Garrett. Like I get the lore of it. And you having, you know, the most competitive division in football and the Super Bowl champs are in your division and your rivals
ring.
Are pretty nasty. Yeah. And you can go out there. Like if you win a ring this year, you're doing it in emphatic fashion. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing it in that division against those two teams. I mean, the Cardinals got their starting quarterback locked up. So good for them. So yeah, I don't want to diminish them.
Yeah. You needed that. We had Okay,
I know maybe. You don't agree with that. That was the right move by Jacoby Brissett. It was the right move by Jacoby Brissett to fight for that. Like he,
both entities can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
The Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett.
I don't think the Cardinals had to do it, but I understand why Jacoby did what he did. They signed him to a new contract. For those who aren't in on that, that'll just basically up his pay for this year, in which he very clearly is the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
And good for Jacoby. Real quick, I guess we can. I did this a couple times. Talk about the Warriors and Steph Curry on the other side, but we're talking football real quick. I asked this. We had this discussion last week. Somebody had tweeted something out, and it was interesting. This is obviously an opinion, but it said only 8 teams can win the Super Bowl this year. We talk about winning the Super Bowl this year. Only 8 teams. They have the Rams, the Bills, the Broncos, the 49ers, the Bears, Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs. Jesse took the Texans out of there. He kind of talked me into it, too. Yeah. I take the Chiefs out of there as well. I don't think the Chiefs can win a Super Bowl this year.
You guys really love, or somebody really loves that Texans defense. Like I understand it. I understand it.
But Jesse kind of talked me out of it because of C.J. Stroud and how he played or whatever. I took the Chiefs out.
Oh, you back to hating black quarterbacks?
Not at all. Well, no, because I actually
you just took the Chiefs and the Texans out.
But I swapped. Okay. I said, I think the Cowboys probably could be on that list.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Were the Seahawks not on that list? I understand why they're not. I'm just kind of surprised.
And the Patriots weren't either. Yeah. And the argument I make, because Good Kid, Dad City was tapped in, and I think Jake was on that day too, and he said, why the disrespect for the Patriots? Obviously, they can. They can, right? But realistically, I would be floored if the Seahawks won the Super Bowl again.
Oh my God, absolutely.
That'd be the biggest surprise maybe I've ever seen in sports.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch, but
talk about a championship.
No, I get you. No. Like, I agree.
The Seahawks with Sam Darnold going back to back, and I think, like, when you talk about the terminology of what the guy said. Yeah, I understand saying the Seahawks.
Only eight teams can win the championship.
No debate.
I get it.
I understand how disrespectful that sounds, but
I don't think they're that. I don't think they're bad by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
But if you told me that the Seahawks were the third best team in the division, probably still a playoff team, but are they the third best team? I wouldn't be shocked by that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think very highly of the Rams, the 49ers also. I think about the same, the 40. I think a little bit higher, the 49ers than the Seahawks. The Cowboys. The Cowboys thing is like, so the Cowboys, they really are fantastic. Mm. Jerry was probably right about the Micah Parsons deal, right? And Dak, you know, you damn near got a jersey talking about the way that he played last year. And it's like, I see it. Okay. I look at the Dallas Cowboys and their chances to win the Super Bowl as me ever fighting for the Sacramento Kings to be better than whatever Vegas says their records is going to be. I'm just not going to do it. Like, I have thought, like, well after my Cowboys fandom has ended, that, no, they have a team that can win the Super Bowl. Like, I've thought that very recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm wrong every single year.
Can't even get to the conference.
So I'm not going to do that again. Now, for all of those who say, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to say it.
Mm. I understand.
What's the thing? Can win the Super Bowl. I don't know if they can.
I think for argument's sake, I left the Texans in, but Jesse made a lot of great points. I took the Chiefs out and swapped them with the Cowboys.
The Chiefs are interesting.
Chiefs are not winning a Super Bowl, and they can't even win a Super Bowl this year.
Oh, that's crazy. I think that's a bit crazy.
Have you seen Patrick Mahomes jogging around?
I don't think so.
I don't like the way he's going to play week one. Like, and I don't think he'll be hurt or nothing like that. He just looks a little different. He got the big brace on or whatever.
I thought he ran funny anyways.
True.
Like he always had a weird, he moves funny.
Yeah, true. It looked a little different. I didn't like it.
Daniel Jones is back.
I saw that too.
They said his Achilles in December, right?
Saw that.
They said, oh, boy's not on the pup list. Micah Parsons.
Okay.
Torn ACL around the same time, I guess.
Patrick Mahomes did. Publicist in – this is probably a Kyle Madsen question. I feel like the publicist in training camp is kind of like bookkeeping.
Could be.
Like there's a formality to it. Like it, there's a reason you do it. Like I think George Kittle's on it.
Yeah.
The guy who tore his – the running back. I think he tore his pec. Garendo,
Isaac Garendo. Yeah,
I think he's on it too.
I didn't forget.
He's still on the team. Yeah. Well, all right. We'll come back. I know you want to talk about the Warriors, and that's kind of the fallout of the LeBron James move to Philadelphia has started a lot of speculation about Steph Curry and has created a lot of interesting conversations around the Golden State Warriors and why we revel in their misery. We'll do that next together. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit us on the Mojo's local tapping kitchen text line if you want to text your thoughts to us. That's 916-909-1320. Doubles is the phone lines. You can hit us. Man, I ain't heard TC's voice in a week. That's crazy. 916-909-1320. Again, if you want to hit us on the phone lines or the Mojo's local tap-in kitchen text line. There's going to be a lot of fallout to LeBron James signing, which he did today with the Philadelphia 76ers. But none greater, it seems, than the fallout with the Golden State Warriors. It seems that the Warriors put all of their eggs in one basket. Now, I don't know what this basket would have netted you. LeBron James appears to think it would have netted you nothing other than a fun time playing with his buddy Steph Curry and his friend Draymond Green. It's hard for me to figure out how serious the Warriors took this pursuit of LeBron James. Not how serious they took it in the sense of did they really pursue LeBron James. I don't think there's any question about that. But it's hard to tell like whether they actually thought he was going to sign with them. Because it feels like most of the reports that came out that were positive about the Golden State Warriors came from the Golden State Warriors. And there was never, and that you know, goes into, if you go through Rich Paul's original remarks, try to figure this out, it goes into what exactly LeBron was looking for when signing his team with this next team, which he says, by the way, is his last team. The Warriors never made sense, at least to me. At least to me, they never made sense. And now that it is official and this is behind us and the Warriors' pursuit is done, you know, the graphic comes out with each team and their free agency moves here or their offseason moves. And there's, now to be fair, there's the Sacramento Kings with one. And then there's the Golden State Warriors with nothing.
Isn't this the second straight year?
Absolutely nothing. And that has a lot of people, including our close friend Marcus Thompson, who has written about Steph about as intimately as anyone can, has people wondering, you know, what is Steph Curry's future with the Golden State Warriors?
I have said a number of different times, and I still believe, I haven't changed on this, that Steph Curry is a lifelong Golden State Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
As Monte Ellis once said, I'm a warrior, I'm always going to be a warrior. Mm-hmm. Actually, he said, I'm a Warriors, and I'm always going to be a Warriors.
Thank you, Monte.
Nothing
you said was accurate, Monte. Nothing.
Marcus Thompson, writing what he wrote, mm-hmm. hearing some of the quotes or some of the things that Steph Curry is seemingly voicing, has me for the first time considering, would he leave the Warriors? I would kind of hope he wouldn't leave the Warriors. I like the aspect of him playing his whole career with Golden State, how much it means to that region, that fan base. I just like that. Like Kobe with the Lakers, Dirk with the Mavs. I like that type of stuff. But is it, if he wants to win, it's not going to be there. Like if he wants to go out and compete and what he always says, play meaningful basketball, truly meaningful basketball, it's not going to be in Golden State anymore, it doesn't feel like.
And this is the situation that with, you know, all great athletes are faced with, championship athletes are faced with. And it's tough, you know, Kobe and Powell win that last title and it got bad after that. Like it got really bad. But at the same time, Kobe's health deteriorated at a frustratingly rapid pace. And there was no Kobe to placate. Yeah. Like the Lakers fell apart as Kobe's body did. So there was nothing to do there. It's different when the team's falling apart and your guy is still the guy. And trying to figure out how to navigate that, I think is, I think for the, it you're starting to hear stuff. You're starting to read stuff. Everything you just said, there's starting to be a feel like maybe the Warriors and Steph aren't on the same page for the first time.
Yeah.
And there's a quote, and I can't remember if it was Marcus, and I'm sorry, but there was a quote that Mike Dunleavy is starting to look, or isn't starting to. Mike Dunleavy, now that the pursuit of LeBron James is over, is now focusing on this basketball team after Steph Curry.
Hmm.
And Steph Curry, you know, LeBron James is entering, you know, this season at age 41. Should he play out the 2 years in this contract, he'll be 43 years old. I believe Steph is 38.
Yeah.
That's four more years. Like, and I'm not suggesting he's going to play as long as LeBron does, but we're talking 4 to 5 more years if Steph wanted to go till 42 or 43 years old. I think it's difficult to tell an athlete who is clearly nearing the end of their career, like, hey, we're looking past you. And this athlete might feel like, yo, I got 3 years left. I got 4 years left. I got years left is the point. And Mike Dunleavy's not worried about that anymore. They've swung at LeBron. They swung at Jimmy Butler. You know, they've tried to do these different things, and it all while also maintaining their draft capital in the later years of Steph Curry's career. And that might pay out in terms of someone like Yaxel and how you can, you know, start to follow that with, but it doesn't work. Like you can't have this two timeline thing that they have desperately tried to have now for God, like 6 years or 5 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that I didn't think I'd ever really say. Now, while I don't think Mike Dunleavy's a jackass,
no, you'd be wrong.
He's not Bob Myers.
He's definitely not. You know who is? Bob Myers.
That's right. And there is something, there's just something that Bob Myers has, whether it's an eye for talent, the way he talks to people and communicates. Something. I'm going to give him credit for, you know, some of the transactions the Warriors did under his regime and now his association with the Sixers and what they're able to do. I'm going to give Bob Myers credit. He's the common factor in that. Mike Dunleavy doesn't have that.
He's a people person. Bob is. Mike is not.
Yeah.
Mike is not. He's a basketball guy.
Yeah.
He's like the coaches that we were talking about earlier.
He's a nerd. He might not have the eye either.
Yeah, that too. That makes it even worse. You can't not have the eye and not be a people person. You can't be both.
Right. And man, I never thought Steph would leave. And now I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about, is he just going to, you just played it out perfectly. Like he can still play when he's healthy, but he can still play. He's unbelievably productive. He's just going to do that for a play-in team or a team that, you know, has a ceiling of being a second round team.
And it's got to be tough for Steph too, to know, you know, there has kind of been like it hasn't been blatant or embarrassing, but it's been a quiet acknowledgement from people around that circle, he wasn't considering the Warriors. Mm. Like, he loves Steph and he loves Draymond Green, but like, when push came to shove, like, that wasn't it.
He saw what everybody else saw.
Yeah, like,
this isn't right. A winning situation.
And that's the thing, like, he probably saw what Steph sees. Mm. Like, Steph knows, like, what are you going to tell LeBron when he walks through the door? Hey, this will be fun. We ain't going to win much. We just got to find a way to stay healthy. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be on TV all the time.
But you know, if to get to the playoffs, anything can happen. No.
Well.
Anything's not happening.
Well, that's the tough part. Like, is anything going to happen seven times?
Right.
Or four times in a seven-game series? Right. You're going to have, like, Steph to that. Like, can someone do something for your franchise other than Steph Curry? Right.
Or like I said, we're talking about Steph Curry trying to win a championship. So something, anything going to happen 16 times in the postseason? Yeah. That's what you need to win a championship.
Right.
Like, nah, man, I don't even think it'll happen eight.
What if? Let me hit you.
I'm gonna get to the conference finals.
Let me hit you with a what if scenario. What if? Let's say Steph is mostly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean reasonably healthy. And Jaxel Lannenberg has a rookie of the year caliber season.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean for Golden State?
That means you probably made it to the second round.
I was going
to
say, was this 37 wins last year?
37 to 45
last year.
Then you're probably getting maybe 10 wins, 47 on
okay.
That. You're probably a second round team.
Still, you're still probably a play-in team at 47 wins.
Yeah,
at least going off last year's numbers.
You're a second round team at best. You're not.
Mm.
You're probably not. Even
I mean, that's not bad.
It's not.
I mean, it's not bad.
But in reality, if you're a play-in team, you're probably not getting out of the first round. You're not beating the Thunder or the Spurs.
You probably are a play-in team.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So 47. Like, I mean, Minnesota was 49 last year at six.
It's just for what Portland went through last year, perfectly fine. Young team,
mm-hmm.
growing, it's good experience. Getting that taste of playoff basketball, perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, Draymond Green, they don't need no taste of playoff basketball. They're trying to win. And the gap between where they're at and the Spurs and the Thunder is so great.
Yeah.
It just, like, you probably would be doing everything that you could and killing yourself to get to a sixth seed to just see one of those two teams in the second round, not the first round.
Is the So this is the territory that the likes of LeBron James and Steph Curry are in. The only conversation is championships.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about Portland getting to the second round or getting to the conference finals. We're not talking about Phoenix having a surprising year, or Minnesota getting over the hump and getting to the final. We're talking about Steph Curry. He has four rings. We're talking about LeBron James. He's taken three different franchises to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about winning a championship and nothing else. And that's where it really becomes difficult with the Golden State Warriors, because I don't think there's a better scenario that I can give you than Jaxel having a rookie of the year caliber season and Steph Curry being reasonably healthy the entire year, and it's ending probably in the second round. It's ending in a place where you know you're not better than San Antonio, or you're not better than Oklahoma City. We know from their last championship that, like, injuries play a part. We know from the run of the finals last year, injuries play a part. We saw that with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
It is, you know, part of what every team deals with on a year-to-year basis. It's rare that everyone goes into the playoffs and comes out of the playoffs and is healthy, and we feel like, man, the best team won, nothing went wrong here. But it's such an unfortunate situation for Steph to be in. And I don't like him. I think he's I've said what I think about him. I don't really like Mike Dunleavy, mm-hmm. but he is in a difficult spot too. Like, he's trying to not make the mistake that they made before and build out this basketball team moving forward to the future. If there's a swing to take, he'll attempt to take it. And you know, the Jimmy Butler thing was a swing, and I think that contract is sitting there and it's maybe stinging a little bit more than they thought it would. Obviously, he's injured, and that's playing a factor. You also have this, you know, go James Ham on you here. You have this revamped, you know, lottery system where a tanking team, one, a tanking team doesn't exist anymore, and two, what use would they have for an expiring Jimmy Butler contract?
Right.
Like, you got to stay out of that relegation zone. So the value that Jimmy Butler's contract might have had for them in this situation when they signed it doesn't have that value today.
Agreed.
And waiting on Jimmy, like, waiting for Jimmy to come back in February, like, dog, you can't be serious. Like, what do you think Jimmy Butler is going to be for you? You already got the best of Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. And credit to them, because this is the Jimmy Butler thing. You noted this at the time. The best version you'll get is the second he gets there. Mm-hmm. And he was great. He was great. They were great. Like, it was like, God damn, this worked. And then you get into the offseason and you start wondering, well, you know, this thing with Jimmy kind of wears. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, here it is. And obviously no one foresaw the injury coming, but that took you to this whole, like, sped up thing where it's like, now you've got aging players. You got one who can't play, who's worth 60 something million dollars. And now you can't really trade him because you're in a different landscape than you were a year and some change ago when you traded, or when you signed him to that deal after trading for him. And what do we do? And the idea that we put all our eggs in the LeBron James basket, we wanted the 41-year-old to come here and save us, is crazy.
Yeah. I would have never done the Jimmy Butler deal. I think he's a hell of a basketball player. I do, too. I would have just – Kyle Mattson is about to throw something.
I'll be clear. When they did it, we laughed. We absolutely laughed.
And they played well down the stretch.
Absolutely.
Kyle, once again, don't throw anything. I would have put my eggs in a Jonathan Kuminga basket.
Oh, my God.
And I would have kept that money for a different time. The Jimmy Butler move, that essentially
Kenny Caraway suspended for the week. Jesus.
That was your last move. And I think that's more so what I'm saying. I wouldn't have spent my last move on Jimmy Butler. He's a hell of a basketball player, but I don't think at that point in his career and with that team, he was going to make the difference getting them above OKC.
That's a great way of putting it. That very literally was their last move. Mm-hmm. That was it. No, it wasn't. Wait. When did they get Porzingis? Was that Kuminga? Did they get Porzingis from Atlanta?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. No, Jimmy was the last true move because Kristaps Porzingis was like, we're just going to go acquire a guy who couldn't breathe the last time we saw
right.
him.
Right, we're just doing anything at this point. Yeah. Jimmy was the one.
Jimmy, you're right. Jimmy was the last.
Not only was Jimmy the final straw, but they paid Jordan, him too.
What was the Jimmy Andrew, trade? Andrew ah, Williams. That's it.
And then they paid him. They mm-hmm. were going to give him $60 yeah. million dollars a year.
They did give him $60 million.
Yeah, it's like, this is it. This has to work yeah. or else it's done. And for the last move, like say in a perfect world, Jonathan Kuminga would net you Jaylen Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Like say if he was that good. Mm-hmm. I would have been okay with doing a Jimmy Butler deal if I knew that's what Kuminga could get me. Because that would, in turn, be my final move, the Kuminga move, okay. right? Like, mm-hmm. Jimmy, it's not perfect, but if it doesn't fit the way, you know, we hoped, I can still move Kuminga and go get another top-flight person. They didn't have that no more. And Jimmy being my last move, I wouldn't have done that. That's where it died.
But I don't think that's where it died. I don't know that it died any slower or faster with the Jimmy Butler deal.
Well, you had a...
All you got was the end of that. Mm. You've got February till the end of the playoff. That's what you got out of the Jimmy Butler deal. You didn't get anything else out of it. but you wouldn't have even gotten that. That was the year we laughed. Mm-hmm. That was the year we were FaceTiming people in San Francisco.
True story.
We were FaceTiming people at 95.7. The Kings beat the crap out of the Golden State Warriors. Boy, we set off a chain of events after that this day. The Kings beat the crap out of the Golden State Warriors. Steph was at the podium, like, hand on, like, he just, like, it was the look of resignation.
Yeah.
Like, we suck. Like, I know we suck. They wouldn't have had that. They wouldn't have had that turnaround. They wouldn't have had anything if they hadn't gone and got Jimmy Butler.
No, they wouldn't have. But at the same time, this is
maybe a quicker acceptance that it's over. But
once again, Kyle, please don't suspend me. They could have just played Kuminga and you would have still had money. You still would have had the Wiggins contract. Now, like, you've got the contract you have is the guy that you did all this to go get, Jimmy Butler. Like, you did all this to go get Jimmy Butler. Now you're dangling his contract as trying to get people to come here and take that contract. And nobody wants to do that. At least if you would have maybe some cap space, or you would have the Wiggins deal, which is a little bit more digestible at $40-something million, where you can, you know, maybe that would have been appealing to Boston in a Jaylen Brown conversation.
Oh, don't bring up Jaylen today.
Don't freak.
There were reports from Shams Charania. I told Kyle this when he brought it to my attention. I feel like we've heard this before, that the Warriors were offering, like, they were in a discussion that involved like 4 first round picks for Jaylen. And I think it was the Warriors that bowed out of that and didn't want to give up those picks. And I mean, I don't know what that looks like. Jaylen with Steph, I don't know how you make the money work without including Draymond Green. I guess it's Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy, yeah, because Jimmy's
16. But why would Boston do that?
That goes to my point.
I guess
any
deal
that you talk about now with Jimmy, it's like, why would anybody do this?
Well, I guess the picks is what you do if you're Boston, because, I mean, not – sorry, man. Like, they got Paul George in return.
No, that
– or they took 4 of Warriors picks.
See, and that's the thing. It feels like those picks could have been really, really valuable for you. And maybe that's what Mike Dunleavy thought, was like, yeah, I can't give these up.
No, but Boston is still like, Boston's still trying to win games.
Sure.
Right? Like, so they can't take nobody back. You know what I mean? Like, the picks are great, but Boston isn't Boston isn't the Kings, right? The Kings could just take the picks and not even care about what player comes back, because we're not in win mode. Boston's not truly there. They still got Tatum. Like, what are you going to sell to Tatum if you didn't bring nobody back and you just took some picks?
If you got 4 first-round picks and Jimmy Butler, for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to say nobody because he's not healthy, so forgive me. You get 4 first-round picks and nobody, or no first-round picks and Paul George.
I mean, look, I'm not here to defend Brad Stevens. I'm not doing that.
Could have also, like, if the Warriors went with it, could have packaged those 4 first-round picks for a deal, like, next year if you're Boston or something, too. Like, you don't have to use them all.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
If you're Boston, like, you could have took the 4 first-round picks and packaged that a deal.
Oh, elsewhere. Yeah. Right.
I just I don't think the Warriors have the players to make a deal with anybody right now because of the
I don't think so. Their most desirable player is the kid they just drafted, I think.
True. Oh, I thought you were going to say the other kid.
What kid? Say Pods. What do you keep talking about Pods for?
Could have had 4 first round picks and Pods.
Pods could have been a Celtic.
His name wouldn't have been a Warrior.
Imagine.
A Sixer, I mean.
Russell, Bird, Mikhail, Pods up in the Raptors over there at the TD Garden.
They love him in Boston, though.
Well,
they would love him in Boston.
Would they?
Him and Payne Pritchard.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, they love him. They love him. Not as much as the Lakers organization, but they love him.
Yeah.
Like with Rob Pelinka or whoever's in that new ownership group. They're like, why can't we get in on Pods? And Duncan Robinson, for that matter.
Lakers going to march out a lineup we ain't seen since the pre-Russell Celtics.
I'll be like, wait a minute, damn it. Why didn't we go sign Dean Wade?
This is a very real world where Steph's not around for the Warriors, like he retires or whatever, and like Pods is leading the Warriors that next season.
Oh my gosh, oh. Bro. No, it's gotta happen.
Pods. Please.
Like we're in a rebuild. We're about to hit the restart. Like we gotta pay someone. It's Pods. Like, yeah, Pods.
Pods
shots this season.
Leading the Warriors is one of the most incredible sentences I've ever heard.
This is like 2028-2029, by the way.
No, it's got to happen. Please, man. Yeah, please. Like, oh, yeah, I beg
Steph
of you.
Steph Curry's retired. Draymond Green is gone. Steve Kerr's no longer here. It's slim pickings for the Warriors, but they got Brandon Podziemski.
Please make it happen. Please. Oh, my goodness. Please make this happen.
We'll go from bad to worse. Warriors to the Kings. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.